This is the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. on www.prn.fm. This radio presentation replays my weekly TV show, Refounding America with Peter R. Breggin, MD, which can be watched on Brighteon.tv, and it's available on Roku. I interview guests who are heroes and pioneers in confronting the global predators who are behind COVID-19 lockdowns and vaccines, corrupt public health and medicine, global warming, the Great Reset, and other justifications for destroying the Western democracies. They are stealing our countries, our freedoms, our dignity and hope, and our jobs and our savings. For documentation of this worldwide tragedy, read our new book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, by Peter and Ginger Breggin. Together, my guests and I explore what is happening and what we each can do to refound America and inspire the world. Thank you for your courage in facing these challenges and standing up for liberty. Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Welcome, my wonderful, wonderful audience. It's just wonderful to have you follow me on to Brighteon.tv, which we can see around the world on Roku. And it's a pleasure to have this opportunity as always. You're looking at Elizabeth. Well, yes, you are on camera, I believe, Elizabeth Lively. She's our guest today. She's a dear friend. She helped me edit my book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, which was just a service beyond any description and was a great help to me as I was writing at a demonic speed to get all that material out to everyone. And she herself now has formed truthforhealth.org, which is one of the most important organizations today in the fight for liberty and for truth in medicine. It's going to really grow. Peter McCullough is her medical expert, and I'm just really looking forward to what she's going to have to say today. I think this is going to be really interesting. There's a lot of important activities going on in the world. My guest, Elizabeth Lee Valit, MD, is a marvelous physician, folks. Like many of us, she was treating patients long before COVID-19. And in fact, I might ask her to tell you a little bit about her practice before she became not only a practicing physician, but deeply involved in these profound issues around COVID-19. She's actually treated a family member of mine, and she's a medical doctor of the highest quality. And like a number of others, like Peter McCullough, whom I often mention, is another MD, you know, she really changed her whole life to rescue America. She's what I call a refounder of America. Lee, before we get into the incredibly bizarre and really some terrible events going on, tell folks just a little bit about your own practice.
Well, thank you, Dr. Breggin, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you in your new platform. I like the concept of refounding America, because we do need to return to our founding principles. But in many ways, the principles on which I founded my medical practice in 1985, leaving the constraints and restrictions of academic medicine so I could better serve patients individually and do what was right for the patients, I actually set up an integrated practice that encompassed medicine, psychiatry, psychology, faith, and health and wellness strategies. And it was called Health Strategies because it integrated all of those. And I resigned from the insurance contract so that I could answer to the patient alone. And my allegiance has always been for my career to the patient and what's in the best interest of the patient. Fast forward to then the work I began to expand into was connecting the dots between the multiple ways that reproductive hormones for men and women affected all aspects of our health, mind, body, spirit, as well as many different organ systems that were ignored in our fragmented medical model. And you can appreciate that with your background in psychiatry and the way that people were not looked at as total human beings and very fragmented, very medication focused, and not looking at all of the other needs that people had. And so I began using some of the fertility protocols that they were developing in the first in vitro program in the United States in Norfolk, Virginia, and applying those to other problems that men and women had, and finding that there was a wealth of information and a wealth of connections that medicine was ignoring. So that was the foundation of my work all these years. But what is fascinating to me is the way that God designed the tapestry of my medical work and how that prepared me to be aware of the enormity of the risk of the current experimental gene therapy vaccines as we look at their damaging effects on ovaries and testicles, for example, in addition to heart and lung and brain and other organs. But also, it prepared me to understand some of the connections that we were seeing with the COVID pandemic and the fact that this was a viral illness, and doctors have always known how to treat viral illnesses, and we've always approached the inflammation and blood clotting problems with viral and bacterial pneumonias with a combination therapy. And so that was what led me to just say to my patients, again, the fundamental principle of advocating for the patient, I don't want the patients to die on my watch if I can help them. So I started doing my best to treat them. I think the first patient I treated was in March 2020, and using some of the things that we were all kind of independently experimenting with, the antivirals, hydroxychloroquine, the azithromycin that has antiviral and antibiotic properties, and corticosteroids, and anticoagulants, and all of the nutraceuticals that we've come to know are so critical. And, you know, it really was quite striking. The more I dug into what was working, and the more I found research to support it going back 20 years, the more we were seeing a blockade of those very medications. And that's in March of 2020 was when I wrote my first national editorial for AAPS talking about the blockade of hydroxychloroquine. And from that point, it was just a knockdown, drag out fight to get the information out to the public, write editorials, do media interviews, treat patients, and try to break through all the censorship that you know well, and all of the things that you uncovered in your research for the COVID-19 Global Predators book. That's such a critically important book that every American needs to read and understand exactly what has gone on and how long it's been planned for just this whole scenario that we've been fighting against to restore liberty, medical freedom, and our constitutional rights.
Thank you for that about the book. By the way, folks, you can get it at a discount directly from us on wearethepray.com. Wearethepray.com. And if you want that quick service from Amazon, I don't blame you for wanting to get it overnight, which we have a little difficulty doing, or in a day or two, you can go on to Amazon. It is, it's best selling. We're at 60,000 now, but thank you. And Lee really did help me a lot, folks. She spent hours just helping me get back, you know, to the point that it would have taken me by myself a very long time in editing. And I really, really appreciate what you did with and for the book. And Lee, very quickly, folks, she's talking about March, you know, 2020, that she knows that something's going wrong. That's really early. And she was already writing blogs in 2020. And that's, again, very, very early to be seeing what's going on. Now Lee has formed truthforhealth.org, and it's been moving in different directions as the needs show. And Lee, tell us about this incredible mess, this morass, this horror that you and along with Peter McCullough, who works with you, you know, what you found going on in the hospitals today. And we can pull up some of the articles that are just a few of the headlines if the producers have them at hand. But just tell us about what you're finding in the hospitals right now.
Well, let me say that Truth For Health Foundation is a 501c3 public charity, and we are providing multiple programs and services to assist patients with many problems, but especially our COVID care strategy team is working diligently to assist patients and family members of patients who are trying to rescue their loved ones from hospitals where they are trapped, isolated, alone, mm-hmm. no access to their advocates, no access to family, priests, rabbis, pastors, and no access to effective treatment. And this has absolutely been a stunning development in American medicine, and it will turn out to be one of the most shameful eras in American medicine in our history when all is exposed. But one of the things that the public does not know is that the hospital administrators are being incentivized by the federal government under the direction of Fauci and NIH for payments to use the remdesivir as the only drug for treating COVID when its lack of effectiveness and its toxicity have been well known for many years, including the Ebola trials. They are paid by the government to do a PCR test on every patient who walks in the door for services and for admission and for ER, whether or not they have respiratory symptoms. And then they are paid extra for a COVID admission to the hospital. They are paid extra 20% bonus on the entire hospital bill if the hospital uses only remdesivir to treat the patient. And then if the patient goes on a ventilator, which is a consequence of some of the toxicity of remdesivir and the restriction of fluids and nutrients that they are also doing, then once the patient's on a ventilator, there's another incentive bonus to the hospital. And if the patient dies in the hospital, then there's another incentive payment. And the hospitals, Thomas Renz, as an attorney investigating some of these hospital abuses, has data from whistleblowers that are under federal whistleblower protection. And they have calculated that the hospitals, at a minimum, are making $100,000 extra per COVID patient for following all of these directives and not deviating from them. That is the reason that patients are restricted from access to their family members. Basically, they don't want the family to know what's going on, and they don't want the public to know. It's been terribly censored, and it's very difficult for any outside family members or physicians to be able to get information. And it was Attorney Renz who asked our foundation to set up a medical advisory team to assist the families and to assist in rescuing the patients. And it literally has become COVID patients in America's hospitals today are actually treated worse than prisoners in America's jails.
Oh, yeah, much worse.
They don't have the visitation rights. They don't have the right to decide treatment. They are refused fluids, nutrients. They are not given antibiotics. They're not given corticosteroids. They're not given, I mean, ivermectin is what's in the news, but it's even more serious than just one drug. It's they're not getting a whole lot of things that I just listed. And they're not even getting the nebulized budesonide that actually reduces inflammation in the lungs. There are plenty of data on the effectiveness of that, in spite of the fact that the hospitals say, we don't have any proof that it works. That's total baloney. We've been using budesonide nebulizers for asthma patients and pneumonia patients for decades. So to say that they can't give it because there's no evidence is a flat out lie. The evidence is there. And patients are being refused these core medications that have been part of ICU protocols for most of my medical career. And that is what is really killing people. It's the lack of treatment, not the COVID virus. And these recent cases where patients that we've been involved in, where patients have to get attorneys, they have to go to court. And literally, we have had to use a show of force between law enforcement, attorneys, family members showing up in force, families getting media in the hospital, on the hospital grounds to protest, having ambulances standing by, and attorneys going on site and confronting hospital administrators to get the patient out of the hospital to when the patient wants to leave or the family members say, we want the patient to be at home with us. Even the hospitals are quite threatening. All of the situations our medical team has been involved in have had hospital administrators and doctors and nurses tell the patient, well, if you try to leave, you're going to die. Well, one patient, 83-year-old woman, feisty spirit, said right back to the doctor, well, you tried to kill me yesterday by taking away my oxygen and putting me on morphine. I'd rather die with my family. And we were able to get her out of the hospital. And she knew that she didn't have long, but her one wish was to be with her family and surrounded by loved ones. And she had, God gave her another week of life, surrounded by everyone who loved her, her prayer circle, her pastors, everyone that cared about her was able to be with her at the end of her life. And the heartwarming stories from that family are extraordinarily meaningful. And, you know, that's why you and I went into medicine, was to help people. And we knew, we've always known that no physician can save all patients. All of us are going to die. The question is, we have a choice about how we want to live the last hours and days of our lives. And we have that right as free Americans. And the hospitals are interfering with that core fundamental right, the right to try medicines that are FDA approved. And, you know, all of this about ivermectin being not approved for COVID is a lot of hogwash the hospitals are putting up, because it's an FDA-approved medicine. FDA-approved medicine only refers to what the FDA has approved the drug company to market the medicine for. It has nothing whatsoever to do with what we can use, how we treat patients, and the fact that we as physicians can choose this. So this is a lie to the public when they say, well, it's not FDA approved for COVID. That just means the drug company can't market it for COVID. It does not mean that doctors cannot use it to treat COVID. And doctors worldwide have been doing that very successfully. And we have over 60 studies that show how it works and that it is very effective if given early and even when it's given later in the hospitalization, patients get better.
What's more useful right now? Or is it a matter of the circumstances? The hydroxychloroquine, which was originally being used very effectively, or ivermectin, or are they interchangeable?
Well, they actually work by different mechanisms, and hydroxychloroquine is really the foundational medicine that is antiviral, potently anti-inflammatory, and actually has many other benefits that ivermectin doesn't have. For example, hydroxychloroquine has been used as an anti-diabetes drug to lower glucose and hemoglobin A1C and lipids for a long time, and it also is an immune modulator. So it actually has some benefits that are particularly helpful in COVID, where many of the patients are pre-diabetic or diabetic, and that's another risk factor, and the hospitals are not treating that either. But they are refusing hydroxychloroquine as well. Ivermectin works as an anti-inflammatory and antiviral, and it has complementary benefits to hydroxychloroquine. We often use them together. I have a lot of patients that I've needed both of those medicines, mm-hmm. along with the nebulized budesonide. Sometimes oral corticosteroids are needed, anticoagulants, and all of the nutraceuticals. And again, the hospitals are not even giving vitamin D or zinc. They're not giving vitamin C. They're denying all of these basic medicines that Dr. Merrick and Dr. Corey, as critical care pulmonary medicine specialists, showed in March, April, 2020, were critically needed to get patients through COVID, but they've also been part of our sepsis protocols going back a number of years. And to deny the patients access to these drugs is unconscionable. And here we've also just seen Dr. Corey and Dr. Merrick being cut off by their hospitals and suspended privileges and not being able to treat patients with the regimens they pioneered that had a death rate of 5 or 6% compared to remdesivir's mortality rate over 50%. So it's really malfeasance at the highest levels that the hospital administrators are interfering with the practice of medicine, and it's costing lives every day across America.
I had a specific question about the woman who died. Do you know enough about her history to give an opinion on whether she would have lived if she'd been treated properly to begin with?
If you're speaking about the first patient that we were asked to assist with, Veronica Wolski, who was the well-known People's Bridge lady in Chicago, we evaluated our whole team. Now, our team consisted of Dr. McCullough was not involved.
By the way, Lee, we've got 2 minutes left to this segment, so I want to tie this together.
Our team actually evaluated her medical records on Thursday before she died on Sunday. She had a very good chance of recovery.
That's
at
what
that
I
point.
Thought. Yeah.
At that point, she did. She was not on a ventilator, and we saw all of her numbers. We saw the data. And had we started on Friday when we were ready with the medical treatment, oxygen, and evacuation from the hospital, we are confident that she would have recovered.
Yeah. Now, I think in the second segment, just listening to this horrific story, we should take a look at, folks, what's going on? Why are patients being let die on the one hand and even being killed on the other hand? These are words I never would have imagined speaking 2 years ago, you know, with the dozens and dozens of malpractice suits and negligence suits I've done against doctors and against hospitals, you know, as a big part of my career. I never saw things like this happen. I really never saw things like this happen.
That's right.
And those are cases that were being brought to me as egregious examples requiring you know, a high power expert to come in on about drug adverse effects and proper treatments and so on. So in the next section, we're gonna talk about, you know, what are the motives here? On the one level, Dr. Vliet has talked about the money. There are other levels and also paying people to do these things. It can't just be for money. There are other things going on. And it relates to the vaccines, which themselves are killing people. So we'll talk about two ways, if that's okay with you, Dr. Vliet. Next segment, you know, killing people by not treating them or treating them badly, killing people with vaccines. Thank you for really... an amazing summary of what's going on. And thank you for doing what you're doing. It has to be heartrending to be doing what you're doing. So thank you so much for doing it. And we'll see you again after the break for advertisements. That was an amazing 22 minutes with Dr. Lee Vliet, an amazing physician, a dedicated physician. I'm trying to develop an idea, Dr. Vliet, of having a David and Goliath moments to start the second section with. And there's the picture of David and taking on Goliath. And people can find that on Germ Warfare. It's done by the artist Jeremy on Germ Warfare. It's given us permission to use it.
So I like that.
It's a wonderful thing. We are talking about David and Goliath right now, and but there is a change going on, folks. The Davids are getting stronger and stronger. You know, Dr. Vliet now has her own organization. It's having powerful effects. Resurrected an organization that was used for entirely different purposes earlier in her career. And then we have people who have been so maligned by the left, who may have exaggerated at one time or another about something like Alex Jones. I don't agree with everything Alex has said, but Alex Jones saw what was going on decades ago. Mm-hmm. And Mike Adams, who thank God has set up this TV station where you can, you know, see us and follow us on even Roku around the world, he's getting more and more power and more influence. And Peter McCullough is being seen around the world now. All David's taking on a Goliath. So what I want to move from that into is who the heck is Goliath? I mean, who is that creature that David is, you know, twirling, getting ready to throw a rock at? Who is that guy? Well, to understand who that is, I want to take one more step and look from actually the killing of patients in hospitals, which is definitely going on. They're incentivized. Doing it by actively, doing it passively, doing it by refusing treatment. Well, the parallel situation, which was their ultimate aim at this point in time, the global predators, and all of this is documented 650 pages in COVID-19 and the global predators, where Dr. Vliet has a very fine introduction, along with Peter McCullough and Zev Zelenko. These folks, back in 2010, they got together a lot under the guidance of Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab. Bill Gates is the money man. Klaus Schwab is the philosopher of a new kind of Marxism that he calls the Great Reset. It's actually, the Great Reset is actually corporations masquerading as having good progressive intentions, working with communist China literally, and aiming to run the world above all of the democracies, all of the democratic republics of the world. And the way they went about it, one good date is 2010, when Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and a bunch of others declare this to be the decade of the vaccine. And we have had that decade, and it has totally been fulfilled with their aims. And we have in the book literally the marketing plans of Bill Gates. We have his business plan. We have a document written by his organization, which is called CEPI, C-E-P-I, with the World Health Organization, making semi-legal agreements called Memoranda of Understanding, that Bill Gates and the drug companies and the people he's allied with, the giant trusts, would, in the coming pandemic, run the whole industrial complex that would be making a fortune, and literally pronounced in writing on numerous occasions that the drug companies we are working with to get ready for the coming pandemic would have all of their expenses repaid and covered by the governments, and then the rest would be gravy. And he even has one comment to the World Health Organization that basically, and if they get a lot of gravy, they will give the skim off the top and give it to our CEPI so we can continue the cycle of funding this illegitimate government. And to the World Health Organization in this division of the world went the medical scientific power. And you see this being played out, and they worked through the UN. That became their justification, was, well, we're working with the UN, with these UN principles. The UN's under the control of Communist China. The World Health Organization's under the control of Communist China. And during the Trump administration, they freaked out because the worst thing had happened to them. They were confronted by an America that was patriotic, democratic, and had a Bill of Rights. And they knew that that was the end of their globalism. They wrote about it. They fought it. They held conferences. Gates and Schwab and Michael Bloomberg would hold or go to conferences with major tech corporations, major insurance companies, major banks, and it would be co-sponsored or dominated by the Chinese Communist Party. There's a thumbnail. It's so horrific. I'm not going to say more about it, but it's documented. And we also have lists of books that we didn't even know about earlier about how Communist China has infiltrated the basic institutions of America. The goal from the beginning was vaccines. So they didn't focus on treatments. They wanted vaccines for three basic reasons. One was they wanted to tool up in advance and set up all the platforms that Trump was misled into thinking it was developed during COVID-19. They set them up 4 years earlier. Warp Speed, Operation Warp Speed, the Great Reset, this government funding was all set up way in advance. Moderna was set up as the main vaccine along with Pfizer's vaccine, and that's what came to dominate America. But it was set up 8, 9, 10 years ago. So the goal was to just become very, very wealthy and powerful by using the vaccine as a weapon, and particularly against Western democracies, causing them to shut down, taking away civil liberties. Well, that runs into the second part of it, which was to create a top-down government that was never elected by anybody. And the third part of it, and this is going to be hard, folks. I didn't want to think this way as a medical expert. I'm very bound to common facts. As a scientist, I'm bound to common facts. They had agendas that included culling the population. These people worship death. I can barely say it, even now that it's become so obviously real. They don't want the old people. That's why China could release could release COVID-19 on its own land because they knew it wouldn't kill the children. They're way low on children. They needed their children. They needed their youth. And their old people were in the way. They had no way of financing the care of their old people. It was a great weapon for them to use. And besides, it was mostly the fear, the terror they were engendering. And that's still what's going on. We have a relatively harmless viruses now, and they're shutting down our campuses and shutting down our country again. So when you think about how could Dr. Vliet be right that they're incentivized really to not treat people, to have them die, and to call them COVID-19 patients to legitimize when many of them, some of them, may not even have COVID-19, or it may not be what's killing them, many of these people. It's the treatment that's destroying. Why would they do it? It is part of culling, making this smaller population. Now, Bill Gates has never openly threatened to kill people, but his website has got a whole section devoted to population control. His vaccines have killed people before. This is not new. Whether it's intentional or not, I'd let a court decide, but it is part of a general program to cull the population. And that's just a lot to say. And let me give you back to marvelous physician Lee Vliet here to pick up on.
Well, Dr. Bregan, I think you're absolutely right on everything you said. And what the public doesn't remember, probably, is that Ezekiel Emanuel, who was Obama's chief White House health policy advisor in 2008, 2009, pushing and the architect of Obamacare, his whole message was one man, Dr. Emanuel, had decided that people over 50 had lived a complete life and we shouldn't waste medical resources on them. The complete live system is our medical papers that he wrote in the 1990s and in published again in 2009. I wrote editorials on it in those years. And he said very clearly, we should do away with the oath of Hippocrates, focus on the individual. We need to focus on the collective and what's best for society as a whole, which is to concentrate resources between ages 15 and 40 and let everybody else just not get medical care, basically. In other words, he said attenuate it, which meant ration or deny. And that's what we're really seeing. COVID-19 is the excuse. He's still advising the administration. He's behind the scenes advising the Biden administration. And the complete live system has really become the COVID-19 protocol that is restricting effective treatment, pushing the toxic remdesivir, and pushing people onto ventilators. And the data from Texas that, again, Attorney Renz and his CMS whistleblowers have revealed in press conferences, 84.9% of the Texas patients in hospitals who've been on a ventilator longer than 96 hours die. We have never had a death rate in our hospitals that high in my lifetime. And this is stunning. And yet they continue to do it. The hospital administrators know that these treatments are not working. They know their death rate is through the roof. They know that the ventilators are damaging further to the lungs. And they are still doing the same protocol that has not been working and has been killing people. So you, the only conclusion you can come to is that they are doing it knowingly, and they're doing it because they're paid to do so. And the goal is to eliminate older people and reduce the Medicare expenses. But the vaccines have even more ominous effect. Yes, the vaccines are causing the death of older people, particularly high risk or those who have already had COVID and recovered, and their risk of dying or being seriously injured with permanent complications from the vaccine is 8 to 10 times greater than someone who did not have COVID, and they should not be getting the vaccine. We've never vaccinated people who've had the illness and recovered. But what's even more alarming in my mind is they've known for over a decade that the lipid nanoparticles in the mRNA technology injures the ovaries and the testes. And now they're pushing these experimental shots into children and damaging their ovaries and testes, which means the children will likely have trouble ever having a child. So that's another way of population control that Bill Gates has already done in other vaccine campaigns. In fact, the government of India sued him for sterilizing young women in their country. And this has been something he has openly talked about for decades, using vaccines as a means of birth control. And they actually, for 20 years, have been researching immunologic contraceptives with vaccines. Public doesn't understand the enormity of what they're doing by giving these experimental shots to children.
We recently discovered that the World Health Organization has a special section on developing vaccines for infertility.
Exactly.
I had no idea something like that could exist.
I know.
And then the Lancet has I don't know if they call it a center, I forget now, but it's for the appreciation of death.
Yes.
It's bizarre, but you know, and then I want to give it back to you in a minute. If you look at the history of Marxism, it's a history of wantonly murdering people.
Yes.
There are numerous research studies out now, books out now, that show that in the last 100 years, countries under Marxism or socialism, Hitler was a form of socialism, fascism, probably killed way over 100 million people. Chinese communists may have killed 100 million people. The numbers are astronomical.
Yes.
And Mao the worst, and then Stalin, and then Hitler, interestingly enough. So there is within this socialist idea that is taking over medicine, taking over America, the idea that death, killing people, is a very fine way to achieve your ends. It's as horrible as that. And Lee, let me give it back to you. We have 5 minutes now.
Well, I want to leave your audience with some positive messages.
Oh, good. We need positive messages.
This is your life. Your life is God's gift to you. It is not the government's to control. That's the fundamental idea that made America different from Marxism, communism, socialism, monarchies, everything else. The government does not own you. You have the right to your bodily integrity and the right to decide what you want to do with your life. And my words to you for this Christmas season and coming out of the Hanukkah season, I want to emphasize bringing light and hope into the world is the Judeo-Christian tradition. And you have a responsibility in that. David had the stones in his pouch to slay Goliath, but he would not have succeeded if he had not used them. And you have to use your mind. You have to use your intellect, your action plan. We have an early treatment guide. Dr. McCullough and I have done a whole new version of the COVID early treatment guide, options to stay out of the hospital, which are death camps, as it has become, and save your life. It's free on our website. Now, we would appreciate a donation to support our work because our services for patients and their families are pro bono. And our medical staff, including myself, are all volunteers. But you download that booklet now, print it, read it, start assembling your COVID care treatment bag at home. Get the nutraceuticals, get the prescription medicines from a telemedicine consult that you can set up online. A number of resources for that. We list the resources. Have your COVID survival kit under your control in your home, just like you have your hurricane survival kit if you live in Florida, and your tornado survival kit if you live in the Midwest, and your ice and snow survival kit if you live in the Northern Plain states and the New England states. Get prepared. You have a brain. You have the ability to use it. Don't just give up in fear and panic. Hospitals are not going to be the place you can count on for individualized treatment like we've always done in the past. You need to take charge of your health, and you and your family get your power of attorney in place. Have an advocate. You have to go into the hospital, tell them what you do and do not want. And another little tip, you can always put on your medical records in the hospital, and you go into a hospital, all these medicines that you were taking at home. And some of those that you might want to be taking in the hospital, you might just want to put down as having already been on them at home, because then they are obligated to continue it. And I'll let you think about exactly what I mean on that.
Dr. Vliet, this has been one of the best interviews. It's been a really good show. Folks, take inspiration. And adding to the idea of optimism, it is a wonderful time to be alive. Since the founding fathers and mothers of this country, no generation, except perhaps the Civil War, has had the opportunities to stand up for freedom as we do. And at no time since the founding has the democracy itself been under such threat from, in this case, the global predators, and ultimately the Chinese communists and Marxism. It's a wonderful thing. Get involved, meet wonderful people, get involved on a local level, a national level, do a book club, go and talk to the school board, run for the school board, make up a group of your own, join a conservative political organization that believes in America, that's patriotic. And most of the time, folks, it's going to believe in God or not. So even if you don't believe in God, folks, join one of these groups. You'll find that the nicest people in the world in America believe in God. I've just my experience, and as a Jew, I can tell you many of them are Christians. Join in. Join in to saving America, to refounding America. It is a glorious effort. Thank you, Elizabeth Lee, Vliet, MD. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been just a tremendous job that you've been doing.